Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, December 4th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The race for House District 34 came to an end Monday, nearly a month after Alaskans went to the polls. Jonathan Kreis Tompkins beat four-term legislator Bill Thomas after a recount in Juneau. Margaret Friedenauer of KHNS has more.
After a recount in Juneau this morning, Republican Representative Bill Thomas of Haines has lost his state House seat to Sitka Democrat Jonathan Kreis Tompkins. Only 32 votes out of more than 8,000 separate the two candidates. Kreis Tompkins was in Juneau to observe the recount and said it was tedious.
Well, it was watching 8,232 pieces of paper being fed into optical scanner machines.
But the Democrat wasn't nervous. It seemed apparent a couple weeks after the election, when the bulk of the absentee ballots were counted, that Kreis Tompkins would maintain a lead. A final vote count of overseas ballots solidified his win, followed by certification of the election. But the difference of votes between the candidates was still less than half a percentage point, within the range for a state-funded recount. Thomas waited until the deadline on November 28th to officially ask for the recount. Both candidates picked up a handful of votes during this morning's count, but the final tally did not change the outcome. Kreis Tompkins' final vote count is 4,130 to Thomas's 4,098. The winner said the recount finally closes the book on the drawn-out election.
This is the point of punctuation on the election, and it's a relief to have a sense of finality for the whole episode.
Thomas said he was not surprised by the outcome of the recount.
Yeah, it's good to have it resolved and be done with.
Thomas signaled in recent weeks that he knew a recount would not likely change the election outcome. Staff was already packing up his legislative office on Main Street in Haines, although it won't officially close until mid-January. But he also said despite his first reaction the day after the election, when he said he would not run for office again, he said Monday he will leave that possibility open. He said he's interested in getting into fish politics, and we'll see where that leads. And unlike some of his off-the-cuff remarks toward Kreis Tompkins a day after the final vote count, Thomas offered more practical advice to his opponent on Monday.
You know, yeah, I wish him good luck. You know, he's going to need it, and I want to know how he's going to fund all these projects. But your campaign promises are hard to keep.
Kreis Tompkins said he's been hiring staff and gearing up for his move to Juneau. He said while the recount is the end of the election, he's still anxiously awaiting his swearing-in on January 15th to begin his term as representative for House District 34. Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
33-year-old Alaska Native artist Nicholas Galanin of Sitka has won $50,000 fellowship for artistic excellence. The National Artists Advocacy Organization, United States Artists, or USA, awarded Galanin in the USA Rasmussen Fellowship in the Crafts and Traditional Arts category. The group announced the 54 grant recipients, who included visual artists, writers, and musicians, yesterday in Los Angeles. Galanin grew up watching his father create art, and after he graduated high school, the 18-year-old decided to become an artist full-time. He was working for the National Park Service at the Russian Bishop's House and was told that during his downtime he couldn't draw, but he had to read books on Russian history.
From that point on, that I'm going to do what I love, and I'm going to do it passionately. I feel great and alive and invested in my time, and I feel like I'm investing it wisely.
Galanin is an artist of many media and combines the traditional and contemporary in his work. A 2006 two-part video he produced shows a Tlingit dancer moving to techno music and a non-native break dancer moving to a Tlingit song.
It is a huge risk. Everything about creativity is a risk, from creating work to sharing your work to voicing your ideas and experiences. But that's something that every artist has to overcome in order to create.
USA has awarded $17.5 million to America's most innovative artists in the past 7 years. Galanin doesn't know yet how he will use the grant, but says it will help him keep doing what he loves. Sitka basketball legend Herb Dietrichson has been named to the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame. Dietrichson was selected for the honor over the weekend, along with former Eliason football coach Buck Nystrom. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Dietrichson first rose to prominence in basketball as a student at what was then Sheldon Jackson School in Sitka, where he graduated in 1946. Diedrichsen says the main influence of World War II on his game was the opportunity to play against college athletes who had joined the military and were based in Sitka. I give a lot of credit to the Navy being there and teaching us a few things, along with those college boys, he says. Diedrichsen is in Anchorage undergoing medical treatment. He was characteristically modest on hearing the news that he had been named to the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame.
Teammates that brought you further than that made things so much better. I give a lot of credit to my teammates.
The roster of players who shared the court with Diedrichsen at Sheldon Jackson School reads almost like a Hall of Fame in its own right. Joe Truitt, David Leask, Lawrence, Buddy Widmark Jr., and Ed Benson. Later, in Diedrichsen's years dominating gold medal basketball, he was teamed up with players on a Sitka A and B squad that included Moses Johnson, Jerry Helland, Willie Joseph, and Franco Williams. Diedrichsen was the first player ever named to the Gold Medal Basketball Hall of Fame in 1961, 3 years before his retirement. Nominating documents refer to Diedrichsen as far more than a regional standout. He is described as one of the most gifted athletes of his era, who was recruited by the Seattle Rainiers to play minor league baseball. Diedrichsen says he considered an athletic career beyond Sitka and the region, but he made family his priority.
At this particular time, my wife was carrying our daughter, so not knowing too much about going to classes in college playing basketball, but I was worried about whether I'd be able to support my family. I just dropped that.
Diedrichsen married his high school sweetheart, Pollyanna Lott, in 1948, a marriage that has endured 64 years. This was the third time Diedrichsen had been nominated for the Alaska Hall. Director Harlow Robinson says it became evident over the years that this was someone who needed to be in the hall. He was an iconic, legendary figure in his era. Along with Diedrichsen and Nystrom, who won 150 games at Eielson and North Pole in a 30-year career coaching high school football, the Alaska Sports Hall selected the Fairbanks Equinox Marathon for induction in the Invents category, and Soldotna fisherman Les Anderson's 97-pound king salmon and Chris Clark's 2000 Olympic marathon trial victory in the Moments category. A panel of eight sports writers, broadcasters, and coaches comprise the selection committee. The voting public serves as a ninth member. There were 43 nominees this year. The Alaska Sports Hall of Fame inducted its first class in 2007. Susan Butcher and Tommy Moe were among those named. Diedrichsen and Nystrom will be inducted in a ceremony at the Anchorage Museum this coming February. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Here's some good news and bad news about Alaska's humpback whales. What's good is that their numbers are growing. What's bad is that it's creating problems for boaters, hatcheries, and small fish. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld found out some more at November's Sitka Whale Fest Science Symposium and filed this report.
There's a few more whales further out. Not sure if they're whales we've had close views of yet this morning, but we'll find that out.
Captain John Dunlap pilots a catamaran through a protected area of Sitka Sound. The vessel usually carries tourists on summertime wildlife watching trips, but this outing is different. Half a dozen expert marine scientists are on board.
Population increase in humpbacks is going gangbusters.
Jan Straley tells passengers about whales over the catamaran's public address system. She's science director for WhaleFest, hosted by the Sitka Sound Science Center. She's best known as a University of Alaska professor who studied humpbacks for more than 30 years.
They are reproducing at 6 to 7% a year in southeastern Alaska, so that means for every 100 whales, we get 6 or 7 more whales the next year. And their mortality rate isn't that high, so we're just getting more and more whales, which is a good thing, but it also comes with some problems.
Those problems aren't evident this day. Passengers gather on deck to watch, photograph, and hear some of the sounds spouting humpbacks. But researchers say trouble's ahead as the population grows. Numbers are up as the species continues recovering from commercial whaling. John Moran is a research biologist with the National Marine Fisheries Service in Juneau.
The amazing thing is that there's not more issues. There's a lot of cruise ships, a lot of whales, there's a lot of gear in the water.
Whales do get hit and killed by the big ships, and they do become tangled in commercial fishing lines. But Moran is more worried about interactions between whales and skiffs, cabin cruisers, and other small vessels.
People don't really pay attention when they're driving boats like they do when they're driving a car. And small boats are fast, and whales are big, and it's like hitting a brick wall, and I don't think people fully realize that.
Passengers watch several whales arch their backs, show their tails, and dive. Captain Dunlap asks everyone to keep their eyes open.
We're in relatively deep water. It's over 350 feet deep here. Depending on where these whales are feeding, they could be down for quite a while.
Some people think humpbacks eat only krill, a small shrimp-like crustacean filtered out by their baleen. But Straley tells the whale watchers they also feed on fish.
There's a nice layer of herring right on the bottom that's about 80 fathoms deep. So these whales come right now and they're feeding prior to their migration, just bulking up because they don't feed a lot in Hawaii.
That's where most Sitka whales go during winter months. Some also swim from Prince William Sound and other locations to Mexican waters.
That's Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld. A 21-year-old Sitka man was found dead at about 7 p.m. Sunday. The body of Noel Gangle was found near a cabin near Seven Fathom Bay, about 22 miles south of Sitka. A statement from Sitka police says the cause of death appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Gangle was part of a four-person hunting party. Three of them left the cabin to go hunting, and Gangle stayed in camp. When the hunters returned, they couldn't find Gangle at first, but then found his body in a nearby wooded area. His body is being flown to Anchorage for further investigation. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.